ERQ FM HD3 Baltimore, an Urban One radio station, minority controlled
and operated and serving the African American community for over 40 years.
The views and opinions of the guest and host you hear on 1010 WOLB
are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Radio 1, its sponsors, or advertisers.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting and informative edition of the Coach's Corner, featuring TJ Smith, along with yours truly, Coach Butch McAdams. And this show is sponsored in part by One Step Forward, A Step Forward, and J&W Brown Contracting and Shooting for Peace. And, of course, One Step Forward, they have provided residential treatment services, mental health, and substance abuse for over 20 years. Their goal is to return our communities, men and women who have a home and a future. Now, give them a call, 410-462-6001. That's 410-462-6001, and ask for Dr. Campbell. And J&W Brown, simply the very best in contracting. If you need home improvement, interior or exterior, what are you waiting on? Pick up the phone and call 410-728-5000. 410-728-5000. That's J&W Brown Contracting. And Shooting for Peace is a grassroots nonprofit. And TJ, talk about our newest sponsor.
Yes. For more than 50 years, Briarcliff has been the number one apartment community in Cockeysville, known for having an extensive list of features, amenities, and community firsts. It's conveniently located near restaurants and shopping. Briarcliff communities include 1, 2, and 3-bedroom apartment homes, many with dens. Call 410-316-1340 to schedule a tour now. That's 410-316-1340, Briarcliff Apartments in Cockeysville.
And if you have a business and you want your business heard on the Coach's Corner with TJ Smith and Coach McAdams, hey, you can send us an email. I'm at butchmcadams@yahoo.com, butchmcadams@yahoo.com. And TJ, you are what? TJ Smith Media.
Media@gmail.com.
TJ Smith Media@gmail.com. Well, my brother, let's get to it. You know what? I am so angry about so many issues today, okay?
Yeah.
And number one, and I have been, and this is, look, you're so valuable as a partner, as a co-host, because of your extensive background in media and law enforcement. But my background is in education. And I've been involved in education for over 40 years. I got to tell you, it is ridiculous for any school system to start the year before Labor Day. It's unheard of. Why? What's the rationale behind it? In my years as a student, we always started school after Labor Day. In my years as an educator, today would be the day that the teachers would come in and do 4 days of preparation. And then after Labor Day, that's when the students would come. Then you add to that, TJ, a school system here in Baltimore where a number of classrooms do not have air conditioning. Now, how bass-ackwards is that?
Yeah, well, it's a state mandate of how many days the kids have to go to school. And then you have to pile in the professional days that the teachers get along with holidays. And there have been different holidays that have been added over the past several years, of course. And then getting the kids out long enough to have a summer break. So it's going to be shortened somewhere. And whether they start this week or whether they start next week, I don't know that many people, especially kids, are that invested in starting before or after Labor Day. Because once we get to the end of the school year, they want to get out as soon as possible. And the teachers will tell you, once you get beyond Memorial Day, those kids are checked out anyway. So we need to cram as much education and get that thing started as quickly as possible in order to get these kids going.
Let me come from another perspective.
Man, that has been going on. I mean, City College, I'll use that as an example because it's one of the oldest schools in Baltimore. I don't know if there is even a plan to put air conditioning in the school. I really don't want to hear a press conference about it because it's gone on for far too long, and we can't put this on the current superintendent because she didn't get it done.
Yeah, we can. Excuse me. Yeah, we can.
This has been going on since I was in school almost 30 years ago, Coach.
But see, come on, TJ, you and I are going to respectfully disagree, as we will do from time to time. But, yeah, we can put it on her. Now, we can't put it on her to say that she started it. But anytime, if I'm a basketball coach and I come into a losing program, but then after 3 years I'm still in a losing program, that's on me. Well, she could have changed it. How long, I mean, how much money and how long does it take, TJ, to, if nothing else, buy units and put the damn units in the classrooms?
Yeah, and I think they've done that. I think they've done that before, which, again, are they going to retrofit a school like City College to ensure that it has air conditioning or not? Or is this going to be an ongoing thing? We've talked about this way too long. I'm exhausted by that conversation about schools without air conditioning. And again, it was happening when I was there. And we're still having the conversation some 30 years later. That is ridiculous. And that is a failure across the board. And there's no single person to blame for it. Everyone is to blame. And no one should be acting surprised that early September, we're going to be letting kids out a half a day that go to these schools.
But also, you know, back to your point where the calendar. And as I stated, being a former educator, I understand the calendar. But again, what profit, so to speak, is it to start the class sessions before Labor Day when you know traditionally in Baltimore and on the East Coast, you're going to have 90-degree-plus days, and they're going to have half days at best. So, I am total, and this is another conversation that we can have today. You may agree, may disagree. I am totally opposed to urban public education. I think it is a recipe to fail. Now years ago, it was different. You had a good public school system, but I am a huge proponent of private schools. I'm a huge proponent of vouchers. How in the hell can some of these Democrats talk about they care for the students, they care for education, but they vote against vouchers? So if I had my way, every family would have at least the opportunity to send their child to a private school, because public schools in urban, for the most part, and it's no knock against the teachers. The teachers are excellent. It's no knock against y'all out there. You do a yeoman's job, but it's the knock against the red tape, the bureaucracy, and the system you got to deal with on a daily basis.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head, Coach. It's the system more so than the people that are in the system. But again, we keep trying to use this one-size-fits-all approach to everything, including education, and putting every kid in the same class that might not belong there. There's some wonderfully educated kids that come out of public school system, and they're being no different than if you're a supervisor in the workplace. You're 10%, you're 15% of problem employees dominate the majority of your time. And that's what teachers have to deal with some of the kids in the class. They're dealing with these problem kids that aren't getting the right treatments that they need, don't have the right parental involvement. So we have to talk about education. We better make sure we bring that parental involvement in there, because as we said when we had Dr. Ham on a few weeks back, the parents that need to be at these events are usually the ones that aren't when it comes to back to school night, PTA,
and you just fed my point. And that's why I am a strong advocate and a proponent of private education, because the first thing I learned as an educator, be it a classroom educator as I was, a physical educator, or a coach, no learning can take place without first having discipline. That is the first thing you have to establish when you're working with young people: discipline. Then the learning can take place. Now, in private school, if you are consistently disruptive, you're out of there. Public schools, you can't have that. But what you can have is alternative schools with students who have behavioral issues or some other emotional issues. Get them out of the regular classroom, put them in a special situation with teachers who are trained and equipped to deal with such students.
Yeah. We don't disagree with that. And again, whether it's putting more of the behavioral specialists at the school and having that moment to pull those kids out and give them that one-on-one treatment or the more individualized treatment or instruction that they need, that could be better to allow the other kids to excel and not be held back because of the distraction.
Now, are you an opponent or a proponent of vouchers?
I think every parent should have the opportunity to send their child to the school that they believe that their child can get the best education. Absolutely. Period. I mean, that absolutely. But we should be working to ensure our public schools in our neighborhoods are providing the very best education. We shouldn't have public schools in neighborhoods that are, quote, not good. That is how we end up with these, quote, bad neighborhoods, and we allow them to not have the things they need for viable societies. So I don't agree that we should start segregating people in that respect. We should be working to bring those communities up. And part of it involves, hey, guess what? This kid can't be in the general population of kids in the classroom. And we're so scared to offend people now.
And we can, you know what? We can certainly do both. We can do both. Now, let's move on and let's talk about, and I'm not a lawyer. You're not a lawyer. We have not opened the lines. We have not opened the lines. We'll let you know when we're ready to take calls. And if you called last Monday, please be respectful. Give us a break. Listen, we want first-time callers. We want infrequent callers. And we want fresh callers. Okay, now, the Reynolds family, they are reportedly suing the city. Mm-hmm. On the previous show, I heard some people, and they had certainly entitled their opinion, that said that the suit is frivolous. I do not believe that. I think the city could be liable, and here's why. And help me if I'm correct or if I'm incorrect. Wasn't it reported that earlier in the day there was a situation at the same corner involving, what was it, a delegate or a state senator?
State Senator Antonio Hayes had a bottle thrown at him and hit it, and he called police. It was reported, and there was a gun later to be determined to be a BB gun pulled off of an individual at that same intersection that same day as well, earlier in the day, by report.
So, right, in a court of law, Wouldn't that be a tremendous piece of evidence in favor of the family, saying that the city was negligent and just totally shutting that corner down for that day?
Well, in the civil world, and that's what people have to understand, in the criminal law world, it is beyond a reasonable doubt. A reasonable person would agree that this person is guilty of this, and that beyond a reasonable doubt language that we hear. In a civil case, it's a preponderance of evidence, which is just over 50%. And that's what people have to understand. It's more likely than not that the city could have done something or done more. And that's how, you know, you come to these settlements as opposed to going to trial, because that's what the lawyers look at. And like you said, Coach, and I have to say I disagree as well with the earlier show, I don't think it's a frivolous lawsuit at all, because I'll use this as an example. Let's say we live in a community, or your community down in Bowie or whatever, wherever you are, and they have a big sinkhole in the street, and you've been calling the government, hey, this sinkhole is here, and we're afraid something's going to happen, and the government doesn't come fill it. And then a neighbor or a couple of neighbors decide we're going to do it ourselves, and one falls into that sinkhole and dies or injures themselves. Can they sue the city, even though they were negligent in their act of doing something about it, but they were doing it because they thought that further injury was going to come as a result of the negligence of the city? My thought, just again, not being a lawyer, is that they do have a case because the city didn't act when there have been several moments that have been occurring. And, you know, people are going to have to be able to separate the issues that took place. No, Mr. Reynolds should not have gotten out of the vehicle with a bat. Absolutely not. But you have to separate each piece of this when you go into the civil court in this particular case.
And I agree with you. I think in the civil court, I hope the family win and win big. And in the legal court, I hope justice is served, because, again, we weren't there. But according to documents, and it's all we all have the documents, that Mr. Reynolds should not have gotten out of his car. Bad decision, bad choice.
We can agree to that.
Right. But you have to, this is not stand your ground, and we've talked about this numerous times. And if the reports are accurate that the young person ran and got the gun and came back, and Mr. Reynolds was hit by a rock or an object, knocked to the ground, and was shot multiple times while on the ground. These are the documents. This is not me saying that this is fact or actually happened, but these are the documents that I read. If that's the case, then I don't see how you have self-defense. Now, We offered the opportunity for one of the attorneys to come on, and we didn't hear back from him, and that's fine. But I don't see how that's self-defense.
Yeah, and you know what, Coach? Regardless of that point, not only did they make the arrest within a couple of days, did a state's attorney here in Baltimore before an election that she was fighting for re-election decide to charge a then 14-year-old as an adult, then a grand jury indicted this 14 at the time as an adult for first-degree murder. They have more evidence than we as the public have seen. So part of this is also willful ignorance, to not believe that there are other contributing factors that we as the public don't know that led the state's attorney's office and the police department and a grand jury, all of these different entities, with charging a 14-year-old boy at the time with first-degree murder. So all of that's going to play a role, in my opinion, as this all plays out. And it is a tragic case, and we can't lose track of the fact that there were multiple incidents of violence that took place on that same corner that day. So that's where I think a lot is going to come down to. And it could open the floodgates to a different level of liability for the city, depending on how this case goes.
I hope it does. I hope it does. I hope something opens the eyes of Mayor Scott, because I think it is ridiculous. It is nonsensical for him not to want to move these guys off the corner. Now, I understand possibly you know, he grew up in Baltimore. He may have had a squeegee experience. I got that. But you're a grown man now, and you are in charge of one of the largest municipalities in the country. You're not 14 or 15 years old. So, yes, be understanding, be sympathetic because of your experiences, but also be intelligent. And his decision thus far not to remove these individuals from these corners, certainly not intelligent as I see it. But also, as I continue to say, provide employment options for them.
Yeah, and that's been done, Coach, and we keep talking about it, and they think, you know, we're bad guys. We say move them off the corner. It doesn't mean lock them up. And I'll say this, in the town that you purportedly grew up in, Washington, D.C., I was down there last week. And while I'm down there, I'm at the mall, and my son and I are riding around the area, and there are young black men selling water, Gatorade, little trinkets, little souvenirs, et cetera, all over the place. And you had a choice. You could buy it or not. And if you chose not to, you didn't get cursed out. You didn't get hit upside the head with a Gatorade bottle. It was okay. They were there, but they did the work. They put the ice into the thing. They went ahead and carted the cooler up to the Lincoln Memorial or to the mall or Washington Monument, and they sell these waters for a dollar, the Gatorade for a dollar, and I tipped them nicely. And everything after what I gave them was probably profit. And it was a service that I needed because I was thirsty. And this is 40 minutes away, and I don't know why it's so difficult here to really tap into an entrepreneurial spirit, because they actually are in an entrepreneurial spirit there. And right. If you go down on the weekends, you'll see the T-shirts and many different layers of entrepreneurship from young black men in the city of D.C.
I agree. I totally agree. Now, last issue before we do open the lines and we can discuss them all. You sent me something and I looked at it. And man, if this isn't the straw that broke the camel's back, I don't know what is. You've got a film crew filming a show, and they're being intimidated, reportedly, and extorted. Expound on that, TJ.
Ooh, man, oh man. So. It's stuff I used to have a saying when I worked at the Baltimore Police Department. I saw things, I heard things. I said, you can't make this stuff up, and probably usually had an expletive in there, but you can't make it up. The irony in all this is Laura Lippman, it's based on her book. This filming that they're doing down there is based on her book. She's married to David Simon, who of course is the creator of The Wire and We Own This City, which he recently produced. They both live here in Baltimore. Matter of fact, Laura Lippman takes some beautiful pictures most mornings of the Inner Harbor and tweets them out. The production is brought here. Mike Epps is part of this production as well. He's been in town. If anybody follows Uncle T, they have seen him because he's been working with them as he's been in town. But they're in a community that doesn't have a lot going on, but near Lexington Market, which is being renovated, of course, and will be reopening very soon. They had a big party there last month. But apparently the drug dealers went over and said, if y'all want to keep filming here, y'all going to have to give us $50,000. And they had to shut down production. Now, this is all over Hollywood, all over the blogs, all over all of the magazines.
Good.
Right now.
Spread the word. Spread the word. Excuse me. Spread the word to show how how incompetent that the some city officials are. This is ridiculous, man.
This is a three-alarm fire, man. You have to put that fire out because, you know, when we talk about, you think about this, you talk about We Own the City, and we're talking about the Gun Trace Task Force and those thugs and what they did. But you talk about We Own the City. When we have them saying, no, this is our block, and you're not going to film here, and you think about the kickbacks and tax dollars and revenue and opportunity that comes with that, this is good, and I hope that we hear some more today on this investigation, because it can't be left at this. That's a big deal.
And then finally, unfortunately, there was a shooting, on Light Street earlier this morning? And it was a barricade?
Yeah, at a veterinarian hospital. Now, what I will say about that is this is more of a domestic type situation, brother on brother. The brother, sure. The latest details that have come out, the doctor, who is apparently a beloved doctor in the community there, the veterinarian, I should say, his brother, who used to work there, had been terminated from employment and then evicted. He must have some emotional things going on. They called him mentally unstable, but he came in this morning and shot his brother in the leg. He's expected to be okay, but that ultimately led to it was a barricade for several hours, but it led to a lockdown of Thomas Jefferson Elementary School on day one. A lockdown. And, you know, we have so much going on. You miss a week, you miss a lot. Because what was it, Wednesday or Thursday of last week, the feds and everyone got together for this big press conference, the feds, the state, the local. And while the press conference was going on at 12:30 in the afternoon, before our show would even come on the air, seven people were shot on Park Heights and Shirley Avenue in the middle of the afternoon. One of them died. It is just that's the level of anarchy at times that we're seeing. And it's very unfortunate. And these are not the headlines that we want to talk about, of course, because we wanted to talk about our Ravens. We wanted to talk about my Ravens and my Orioles. And, we wanted to talk about that. But unfortunately, we have to talk about these things that are really affecting people and affecting our city of Baltimore.
And you know what? To be totally fair, as I always am, you know, we've got situations that aren't good in my home in D.C., not to the extent of Baltimore, but still too much. And we had a situation yesterday, mm-hmm. a rookie running back who had just played, hours earlier against the Ravens in the preseason game. No, I don't think he played that day.
Yeah, anyway, he played. I think he did.
Okay. But he was on 8th Street, which is a booming area now. That's where the original WOL was located on 4th and H. And according to reports, it was a robbery attempt, and he was shot. Now, not life-threatening, but who knows about his career. At 6:30. And see, I've been on, not the mayor, but I've been on the problem in D.C. In my opinion, you got too many of these damn liberal city council people, and they're talking about defunding the police. The hell with that? Defund the police? Come on. We need more police. We need them to do the right thing. But you don't defund the police.
Yeah. And as you move away from the police, it's also about the accountability part. And we hear that in a lot of statements that come out from government officials. Hold accountable. And I often wonder what that means, because what we see oftentimes is when a suspect is caught in one of these violent acts, we ask ourselves, why were they even on the street to begin with? So that is the piece.
That's right.
Doing their jobs. And the police mm-hmm. are doing it in the correct way, and that bad guy's being taken off the street. We have to make sure that parole and probation's monitoring the way they're supposed to be, but also that the courts are holding them accountable and that they're being put away when they need to be.
All right, now we are finished with the rundown, and so we're going to open the lines. The lines are open, as I said. We want infrequent callers. If you call last Monday, hey, we thank you. Give us a break today. New callers, 410-481-1010, 410-481-1010. Lines are open. No announcements now. We're going to talk about all of the topics that we discussed in our rundown. 410-481-1010. Sean, let me know when we're ready to roll. Now, have you seen any polls? And you know, we're doing the primary, you know, you and I and others, we complain about the lack of polling, but I've not seen any general polls.
Not yet. And I think, after the Labor Day, you'll probably see things start to heat up a little bit more. No pun intended, but yeah.
And look, I am not a Maryland voter, okay? But as I tell people, I have so many influences that I can, you know, most of my friends live in Maryland. And of course, with the microphone, several microphones I have. So, you know, I can influence votes. I am not, now this is Coach McAdams. I mean, obviously, the guy Cox, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't, you know, I could not support him. No way, no how. However, I'm still waiting, and I'm not, you know, certainly, you know, I can't support Cox, no way. This is me. But I still am waiting for Wes Moore to clarify some of the inconsistencies earlier. Now, not a big deal for some people, but I think that in terms of credibility, he needs to just clear it up. Because in my mind right now, when he gives a speech, I'm saying what's true and what's not.
Yeah. She said, we're back to the nothing burger again, Coach. Because we
but were there inconsistent? Okay, hold on.
January 6th was a hoax. I mean,
I've made it clear. Hold on. Did I not make it clear that I can't support this guy? Okay, no question. All right, but look, people can look at it as nothing. People can look at it as something. I respect it. Each perspective. But my question to you, TJ, is were there not inconsistencies, yes or no? And for me, when I hear him talk now, I got to multiply because I don't know, based on earlier conversation saying he was a native of the town, he grew up in this place, and when they announced that he was a recipient of a bronze medal, he shook his head. I don't know what's true and what's fiction.
You saw an edit video of a cutaway when he was being introduced in a long introduction with the bronze medal thing, which I think has been put to bed. We have two clips of these long introductions from a monologue that the host was given when he sits down. And with the story of the other Wes Moore, the fact that we're trying to put him in a box and tell him where he was reared is not our job. It's not our responsibility.
Well, no, it's our job. It is our, excuse me, TJ. Go ahead.
It's like, again, you know, so many people that live in the metropolitan area of D.C. say that they live in D.C. and their grandmother might have lived in D.C. and they might have spent. And in order,
they are not running for public office. And when you say that it has been put to bed, how has it been put to bed? Has he said something? Did he say something? That's all I'm asking.
Wes Moore.
Clear it up.
Political opponents made that bronze star thing an issue. He never said the words out of his mouth that he had.
But he nodded. If you look at the clip, I'm not making this up. If you look at the clip, the host said, and you are a recipient of a bronze medal. And he nodded his head. Did he not?
No, I don't recall it happening that way.
Oh, come on now. You sound like Donald Trump. Now you're going to take the fifth.
Yeah. I tell you, look, Wes Moore can't take anything for granted. What I've seen of what he and the campaign are doing, it doesn't seem like they're taking anything for granted. I've seen him from the Eastern Shore to Western Maryland campaigning since the primary. And you know, that's what he needs to do. He cannot take it for granted. But people need to realize there's a lot of Democrats that are giving Joe Biden a bunch of crap. And these same Democrats are also the ones complaining about the support. but they better understand what decisions the people in charge can make if they choose to sit home or vote for someone other than the person who's going to be most in line with their values. That's all I'm saying.
All right, most in line with the values. We're going to go to the lines. Let's go with Jason. Jason, you are up with Coach's Corner, DJ Smith.
Hey, what's up, guys? I want to try to be really quick with this. I've had some great attorneys, you know, tell me that you can sue a ham sandwich on a good day in civil court. Doesn't necessarily mean you'll win. And to kind of give the community a perspective as to how civil court works, I was told by many great attorneys to think of it as 1,000 grains of sand. And you take them and you throw them at the court. And whatever grain of sand sticks to the wall, that will be the final outcome and the final decision, unlike, criminal court, where it's beyond reasonable doubt. I think that and reason why I was saying earlier in our show that I really feel that this case will be frivolous in the court's eyes is because you cannot control an individual's actions, although crime, you want to try to eradicate crime and you have public safety strategies and things of that nature. Unlike what TJ was saying with the pothole, the city has a responsibility to the pothole because they own the infrastructure. So, yes, the city is liable if you fall into a pothole after you make numerous complaints. The city does not own the criminals. The city does not own the individuals that are running amok in our community. In many cases.
Excuse me, Jason, the city, in my opinion, and you are right, but you are right in your assessment in terms of what happens in court, okay? Yes or maybe no. But here's where I respectfully disagree with you, brother. I don't see it as frivolous because the city, in my opinion, has a responsibility, especially what happened earlier in the day. They should have cleared those corners then. That's how I see it.
I think that's the key, Jason. To me, is the fact that it's probably going to come down to the interpretation of the law, which is interesting because right now we know the current administration is saying the Supreme Court has ruled that they have a legal right to be there. And if there are signs up there, like there are Martin Luther King, that says it is against the law, and they fail to enforce the law that is in place, that, you know, a reasonable person would believe is in place, then I think that adds to it, in my opinion. And again, that's...
Let's take that analogy that it's not frivolous. And if you look at it, then to me, that means when we had these zones that used to be up in our community, and I can't tell you how many times I was stopped by the police just because I was in a quote-unquote high-crime community. And they were posted. That means that the city identified that there were issues going on within that community. There was a high level of violence in that community, and you could be stopped. I've had many family members killed in those communities. I've had friends that were killed in those communities. Matter of fact, Brooklyn Homes used to have those postings of drug-free zones and high
drug-free school zones. Yes, drug-free school
correct,
zones.
Correct.
It's nothing about
correct.
Civil. And did anyone?
I'm saying that the crime that was in those neighborhoods was not eradicated, and people constantly were murdered in South Baltimore in those zones. If that's the case, then everybody should be able to go to court and sue the city based on your analogy.
Jason, do we have any examples? This is what I asked some callers last week. Do we have any examples of cases where someone sued because of the negligence of the city and not protecting them, where it was thrown out? If it doesn't exist, then we're trying to make it fit into a box because we're upset that a white family decided we're going to sue on this.
I'm not upset at the white. I think that every family should. If that's the case, that's what I'm trying to justify here. That's why I say it is frivolous for one individual who was a victim of a crime. What about all the individuals that have been victims of crime due to the negligence of Baltimore City's public safety?
But what TJ is saying is those people didn't sue.
They didn't sue, but maybe, again, like Patrick was saying earlier, was it because of their white privilege that they decided to make
white privilege?
People killed in the city before they didn't sue. This might be unprecedented. the outcome is going to have a rippling effect on how the city manages certain things. And again, this could be different by, simply because there is another thing connected to it. I think if we try to put the overall violence into it, that's different. But we're talking about an intersection, for instance, where people have complained over and over again that somebody
got killed. But people complained about those high crime communities. Again, I lived
but they did not sue. But they didn't sue. They,
I understand that, but then you're saying that, well, there shouldn't be any limitation on suing then in these families that have been victims of crime. In these
as you just stated, Jason, you just answered your own question when you started by saying, and what attorney told you, that you can sue a ham sandwich. You can take it to court. Now, whether or not it's going to win, all of those people who you're saying, who knows if they had taken it to court, I'll be willing to bet you that a good percentage would have succeeded, but they did.
The last thing is the punitive damage part. So there are caps in Maryland, and I think that what ends up normally happening with cases like this, and I've looked at some of the previous cases similar to this, is that usually the city solicitor, the city has, not necessarily unlimited resources, but definitely has more of a machine mechanism than necessarily the family will have. Everything that will be done, be it that the family does not have, a war chest to put into this, will be done pro bono. And it'll all really be based on whether or not this law firm wants to utilize that effort financially, because there's going to be a lot of financial burden behind this. When I sued the city for my lawsuit for police brutality, there were motions that carried our case out for almost 4 years. 4 years. And so there's going to be a lot of
fighting. I don't think it's going to take. Yeah, I don't think it. Okay. All right. Hey, Jason, thanks, man.
What ended up happening was they ended up settling at the end of the day, and that made
absolutely. And I think that's
for a lesser amount.
And I think that's what's going to be the case here. If I had to guess, I think that's what's going to be the case here. But unlike what I heard,
it's going to be about to affect King.
Yeah. But unlike what I heard, there's no. Now you talk about a frivolous suit. Somebody said, "Well, why don't you sue the company who made the baseball bat?" Are you serious?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
Is it in a bottle or cane? All right. Let's go back to the lines. 410-481-1010 And let's go. We got Daryl up. Daryl, you're up. Talk to me.
Hey, Coach and Tom, how you doing, Mr. Smith? You know, I hear it all the time. It starts at home. First, define what a home is. Then I ask those who say that to go to these areas where these inner city children live and tell me how many ideal homes you find. You know, there's definitely been a movement against black people, and we all know this. When you kill the root, you kill the fruit. That's obvious. That's what's happening. And most of these areas, the root is dead. So what you expect to get, good fruit from dead root? No. You know, blacks say we're in this condition of destitute because we don't have jobs. I believe we're in the condition because the government's education system has failed us and continues to fail our children. Let's start with the babies. Instead of focusing on the two most important subjects, basic reading and basic math, too many of our children are deprived of. Present curriculums are a lot of unnecessary, useless programs and not enough useful tools to prepare our children for the challenges for their adult life. Which should be the aim of the
Daryl, did you hear the beginning of the show when I said that urban education is a recipe to fail? So I agree.
It's obvious that the schools have deprived all but a small percentage of its students. Promoting creativity, talent, and goodwill is basically non-existent in our school systems. Change doesn't necessarily mean spending more money, building more schools, hiring more teachers. We need an urban renewal, a national urban renewal of the present curriculums, and focus more on the real purpose of education, which is to help for working and sustaining good relationships. From pre-K, we need the creative arts, social skill programs, and from middle school with job preparedness, continuing up to graduation of senior programs, and high schools. you know, Squeezy Boy.
All right, Dale, for time's sake, got to roll. Thank you, man. All right, thank you.
Give me 5 minutes. You get up, man, 20. All right, thanks, Coach.
No, hey. Yeah. Ain't no timetable, man. You know, we roll. Let's go to Don. Don, you're up.
Yeah, good afternoon, gentlemen. TJ, you're right. Coach, what do you put on a nothing burger? You put a damn thing on it. Ain't nothing you can put on that. Westmore.
It's a nothing burger to you, Don. It's a nothing burger to you.
Okay, Coach, let me say this. It's a nothing burger to me, and it's a nothing burger to a lot more people. Did he not, or did he not, did he win the general? I mean, not the general. Did he win the primary for the Democrat? For the Democrats of the state of Maryland.
That's not the issue whether or not. Wait a minute. Now it's my turn. It's my turn. We're going to have a dialogue.
He's the Democratic nominee.
Hey, hold it. Okay. The issue is not whether he won. This is my statement.
You're right.
My statement is. Let me finish, please, and then I'll let you. Okay? My statement is this. In my opinion, and I'm not telling people not to vote for him because, in my opinion, he's the better of the two candidates. But for me, he needs to clarify some of the misstatements. Go ahead.
All right, now for me and folks just like me, he don't need to clear up a damn thing. And that's just straight up, he's going to get all votes. Yes, you cover that. That's why I qualified. That's me and folks like me who voted for him. That's a nothing burger. Come on, and that's my opinion.
It's a nothing burger to you and other folks. All right, I'm more thorough, and we can't talk at the same time. All I'm saying is this. I'm not saying for people not to vote for him. I'm not saying people shouldn't support him. But for me, I have not heard him say, you know what, it was a misstatement. I did not grow up in Baltimore. I came here at age 20. I am not a recipient of a bronze medal.
Coach, see, this is where you didn't seek it out because Westmore actually put up an alternative website to address that exact issue when another campaign put out the frivolous information.
What did he say?
Preemptively put up the information.
I was on a group text, and you know me, I sent the thing out, and he was there. And then he said, well, call me, and I'll explain everything. And then someone else said, well, you don't have to call him because he supported Francho. Well, no, you don't have to call him, and you ain't got to do nothing. I called him, and he didn't respond. So
would
if he put it out – excuse me?
Would he win – is he going to win the general election for the state of Maryland, for governor for the state of Maryland? Will he win it? Because he already in it.
All right, thanks, D.
That's the question I'm asking you. Is he going to be the next governor?
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with my point about him winning or not. I'm saying that I would like for him to clarify. TJ said he did it on the website. Now, can you read it for us?
Because it's out there, or a personal conversation, because the information is out there. And folks, please let Coach.
What did he say, TJ?
But you have to go to the website. I read it months ago.
All right, what did he say then?
The Larry Young show when it came out.
Paraphrase what he said, because I'm not a cheerleader for this guy. You got a lot of cheerleaders for him, and I'm not saying you are, but there are a lot of people who cheerlead me, and that's fine. But that's an injustice.
Based on what other campaigns did, not on valid, verifiable information. It's stuff that was planted by other campaigns in order to push that.
They didn't plant the story. Did he? Okay, on the website.
The people said, you know what?
The people have spoken that they don't care, but I'm asking the question. folks are dodging the question. Y'all can dodge it all you want, but I'm going to continue to ask you.
We'll put some Mambo sauce on your nothing burger and get some Western.
Well, you know what? I'm going to continue to ask the question. All right, let's go back to the lines. Let's go to Money Mike. Money Mike.
Hey, Coach. Hey, TJ.
What's up, man?
All right. I want to talk about Westmore real quick. And I'm going to reference him to Barack Obama, right? Did anything change for African Americans when Barack Obama became president?
Eric Holder's Justice Department got rid of the disparity that put 50 grams of crack cocaine as equal to 500 grams of cocaine, which arguably is the biggest destruction to the black community. It was the Eric Holder Justice Department under President Barack Obama, one of the biggest equalizers that was necessary in the criminal justice world. But I'll just leave it at that for one.
Okay, well, I'm going to say that
women kept their rights under the Barack Obama presidency as well, where this department, this Supreme Court, that was appointed by the Republican President Trump, and you have women in the streets marching, and you have a lot of Republican women in the streets marching as well, upset that their rights were taken away by white men. So that's just a couple of things.
Okay, ahead, well, I'm glad, and I'm a supporter of Barack Obama, and I'm a supporter, and I voted for Westmore. But I'm going to make this general statement. Ain't nothing going to change for African Americans unless they want to change. Because when President Barack Obama got elected, I said there's pretty much nothing that's going to change now that he's president. Maybe some youngsters can look up and say, I can be the president one day. But I'm going to say with Westmore, because there's really nothing that a black president, and I'm all for a black president, a black governor, can really do for the people. Because if the people don't change their mindset, if the people don't change their habits, then nothing's going to change.
Spot on, Mike.
And now, all right, now, as far as for the squeegees, my 17-year-old was in the car, and he asked me, Pop, how much do you think they make an hour? I said, I don't know. He said, well, how much do they get paid? I said, maybe 75 cents, $1, $1.50. He said, is that all? Is that all? And I said, well, the reason why they don't make anything more, and I turned on my windshield wipers. And he said, yeah, you're right. We all got one. And so, TJ, I'm going to say this. See, Washington, D.C. has one thing that we don't have. They have tourism. They have a melting pot. They have people from all ethnicities. So I don't know if squeegee kids are a problem in New York. But see, when there's nothing, I'm going to say this to all the blacks. When we didn't create jobs for our kids because we didn't want to be not entrepreneurs, then it doesn't happen. If we talk about the Latino community, the Spanish community, this, that, somebody said they got business in Riverdale and other parts of D.C. Because, see, they're entrepreneurs and they have an entrepreneurial spirit. And that's what's fundamentally missing. See,
We're telling them that they're entrepreneurs providing the service that we all have already. And then we're putting another layer of pity on them, telling them that what job? I want to know job is
All right, Mike, thanks, man.
All right, Coach.
Okay.
You got it.
Got about five minutes, I guess. All right, quickly, let's go to Doc. Doc, you're up. Talk to us.
Thanks for taking my call. One would assume that the legal advice that the mayor is getting coming from the city's solicitor. I've had three specific instances dealing with the city solicitor where they have been 101% wrong. The first one was the lawsuit, which I was a plaintiff, against Martin O'Malley for the illegal arrest. The city solicitor advised the mayor that it was a frivolous lawsuit that we would win, we being the city. The mayor lost the lawsuit for illegal arrest. The second one was the HBCU case. The person who was on the board chairing the board for the HBCU case, who was against giving black schools the money, was the current solicitor for Baltimore City. He is now advising this mayor that there is some law dealing with the squeegee issue. There is no Supreme Court decision dealing with squeegee. This Supreme Court dealing with folks selling stuff on the corner. But I really think the mayor is getting ill-advised. And the other issue I had, I threatened to do a class action suit dealing with the removal of the two statues. Those two statues were removed, so we wouldn't go to a class action lawsuit. I think the city solicitor is ill-advising the mayor on how to deal with this squeegee issue.
Good point, Doc. Thank you, man. Great point. All right,
thank you.
We've got two callers. We've got about 3 minutes left. Let's go to Dwight. Dwight, you up real quick.
Good afternoon, Coach and TJ. Me and you received a man of the board in 2016. I looked at my certificate the other day with Sister Educator Pratt that gave us with her signature on the bottom. You know she passed away, right?
Yes, indeed.
Yes, sir.
Bless.
Yeah, our thoughts and prayers. Go out to
I just wanted to say this information that y'all shared, I will sit down when I have a minute to or freedom to I'll put all this together, and what I don't like, I'll just put that on the side, and what I've got, what I like, I'll just go ahead on and tell my brothers and sisters also out in the streets when I run across to try to empower them to empower their minds, you know, because of mine. This was a sermon I'm going to let y'all go. Two Sundays ago, St. John's AME Church, Reverend Brandon McAfee, a mind is a terrible thing. Oh, and I'm gone.
Right, thank
I'm
you, man.
Good. Have a good week.
Appreciate
right,
it.
Have a good holiday. All right. God bless you.
All right, last one. Fred, talk to us. Yeah.
Yeah, Coach TJ, how you doing? Coach, I'll ask you a question. Is your favorite sport still baseball?
What's your point, sir?
My opinion comes from a person who said that his favorite sport was baseball. But
what is your point? This is not a sports show. What's your point? Get to your point.
My point is your opinion means absolutely nothing to anybody in the state of Maryland because you don't know what you're doing. You don't have a clue of what you're doing, period. You told someone he was a baseball player.
Let me finish. If my opinion doesn't mean anything, why would you stay on hold for 5-10 minutes, okay? TJ, another hot and heavy show, right?
Yes. And, you know, very, very important points that came up from people, and appreciate all of the diverse perspectives. And real quick, if you missed this show or part of the show or any of the other shows, tjsmithmedia.com. I'll upload this show in a couple hours, but you can listen to the previous shows there.
And also, if you have a business and you want your business heard on the Coach's Corner, hit TJ Smith up or yours truly, Butch McAdams at yahoo.com. Sean, great job as always, man. You do a wonderful job, TJ. Always a pleasure. Folks, check us out next week, same time, same station. And you know, I always say, make good decisions because life is hard. But it's even harder when you're stupid.
Ain't nowhere to run to. There ain't nothing here for free.